today is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, taken out of part of Matthew and likewise out of the Gospel of John. We find in the beginning of the chapter, of the 28th chapter in Matthew, that very early as it began to dawn, we find two women coming to the grave, namely Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. The other Mary was the mother of James. This Mary Magdalene, she is the one out of whom Christ had cast seven devils. She is confused many times with the other two Marys. The one Mary that we found at the feet of Christ in the home of the Pharisee, who received that blessing, the pardon of her sins. This woman is confused many times with Mary Magdalene. This Mary that was in the house of the Pharisee, she lived in the city called Nain. Mary, the one that was related to Lazarus and likewise to Martha, she lived in this little town called Bethany. But this Mary Magdalene has this name because she was raised in a town called Magdala in the tribe of Manasseh. Now these two women, although John and the other apostles bring in other women, they came to the grave very early in the morning. They had been eyewitnesses of the crucifixion of Christ. They had seen how he had died. They had seen likewise that he had been laid in this sepulcher. They likewise had seen that this great stone had been rolled upon the mouth of this sepulcher. And they knew that the Jews had set a watch before the grave. But at the end of this day, when they had seen all this, they had agreed together to buy spices and ointment, and very early, the first day of the week, they would go to the grave. We find them, according to what they planned to do, coming to the grave. It was still dark, and they were on their way to the grave to seek him whom they loved, to pay their last respect to him, and, if possible, to anoint him with the ointment and the spices that they had purchased. This, then, was an act of love. Love brought these women out of their homes very early on the first day of the week. Love likewise gave them to overlook all the obstacles that were in the way. A stone, a watch at the grave, and how would they ever be able to enter into it? Still, we find them, irrespective of this, on their way. These women, they likewise put many of us, I would say, to shame. They rose very early in the morning, and they went to seek a dead Jesus. How many of us have that over for a living Jesus, for our own immortal souls? How many of us make it a habit of arising early every morning, setting a little time aside to pray, to read his word, and to seek him who only can save us, who only can deliver us from our sins? If we are to go away on a vacation, if we have a business journey to make, if we are required by our employer to arise a certain hour and be there, and we are sure to obey this. We make it a habit to make sure that we are there. But when it comes to seeking Jesus, to seek him in prayer, to read his precious word, how many of us have that over, so that we arise a little earlier in the morning? I'm sure. And these women, they had a lot of obstacles in the way before they came to the grave. One of the evangelists says, one of them said, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And now in your seeking Jesus, obstacles arise. And how do you experience it? My hearers, we don't need much to make us forget about prayer. Skip it. Haven't got any time. Can't read the word this morning. I got to be there. I get up a little late, and I'll just have to forget about that. Or we can so easily forget Jesus. So easily forget to call upon him and to seek him. I think that these women, they put us to shame in this respect. But if we have the same love in our hearts as these women had, then I am sure you have experienced a time in your life that you did make it a practice of getting up early in the morning, that you sought Jesus, that you read his precious word, that you had everything over for him, that the world and the things of time and sense were secondary to you, and Jesus meant everything to you. Oh, my hearers, that's the way it was with these women. And now on their way to the grave, there was suddenly a great earthquake. For an angel of God descended from heaven and rolled away the stone that was at the mouth of the sepulchre. And his countenance was like lightning. And for fear of him, the keepers did quake and became afraid. They trembled, and they became like dead men. We have here, then, an earthquake. An earthquake is an awful catastrophe that God sometimes brings down as judgments upon mankind. Now, they are caused by subterranean gases exploding underneath in the ground, sometimes by volcanic explosions likewise. And the destruction and the loss of life is terrific when something like this takes place. And many cities have been overthrown, and all their inhabitants have been buried under it. There was an earthquake in the time that Ahab was king. For we read that Elijah went up on the mountain, and there was an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. There was an earthquake in the time that Uzziah reigned. There was a great mountain that was split apart by this earthquake. In fact, we read there was an earthquake when Jesus gave up the ghost, when he died on the cross. Then there was an earthquake, and the graves opened, and many of the inhabitants came forth of these graves and entered into the holy city. There was an earthquake here. God came down and witnessed even by shaking the earth. Oh, my hearers, what an awful sight this must have been for these watchmen that were by the grave when this angel appeared, this glorious celestial being. Angels are wonderful things. They are created by God, and they surround his immediate throne. They are spirits, and they worship God day and night. But these angels, they have a superior knowledge to anyone here upon earth, and they likewise have great power and strength. Who, I would ask you, would be so close and be given to have such communion and such nearness and such fellowship to that glorious being, God, then these spirits that have retained their first estate? These angels are glorious beings. Their name means messenger, tidings bearer. Sometimes ministers are called angels. In the book of Revelations, we find the angel of the church to this church and to that church. They are called those that are sent, those that minister unto the saints here below. This angel then came down and he performed a wonderful deed. He removed the stone from the door of the sepulchre. After he had removed the stone, we may believe that God the Father wakened his Son, and Jesus came forth out of the grave. He had said, "I have power to lay down my life and power to take it up again." And he, by his own almighty power, arose from the grave, triumphing over death, over hell, over sin, and over Satan. For my hearers, this was an awful thing. There was here then an earthquake. There was here then an angel. There was here then a grave opened, and Jesus came forth. Thinking of this, I was led to think, well, what an awful thing it was for these watchmen. They were filled with terror. They were like dead men. Thoughts ran towards a time when this same Jesus will come again the second time. Before he comes, we read very distinctly, there will be earthquakes, there will be famines, there will be pestilences in various places upon the earth. But when he does come to judge the quick and the dead, here these men were affrighted. But oh, what will take place when the sign of the Son of Man shall be in the heavens? What terror, what consternation, oh, what fright shall the inhabitants of this world have when this takes place? My hearers, do you believe it's going to happen? Or do you think it's just a fairy tale? Just as sure as he arose from the grave, he most certainly will come a second time to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, what a day that will be when the tomb shall burst open and all the dead that have been buried in the graves from Adam till that day shall arise. Oh, even the sea shall give up its dead. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be for those who have experienced an earthquake within them. Oh, when the Spirit of God comes down into a man or a woman's soul, then there is a great upheaval. Oh, then we begin to realize what we have done in Adam and what we have done every day of our life. Then sin becomes a reality. God becomes a reality, eternity becomes a reality, and our immortal souls become a reality too. Oh, my hearers, has this ever taken place within you? Have you ever experienced an earthquake within? Oh, what a mercy if this has taken place. Oh, then surely in that great day, those that have been made alive, those that have been quickened by his Spirit, they will be given to enter into the joy of their Lord. They will be given to see that good that God has prepared for them that love him. Ah, may we all be given to enter in that glorious place to be with Jesus forever and ever. These women, when they came to the grave, they found this angel sitting upon the stone. And we find that this angel, he addressed these women and said to them, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus who is crucified." These enemies of this watch, they had reasons to fear. They likewise fled and went back into the city to let those know what had taken place at the grave. But these women were spoken to by these angels. Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Truly, this is why they were coming there. This is what they were intent on doing, on finding him, on anointing him, on paying their last respects to him. And we see in this that even these angels, they knew what these women were doing. They knew that the love they had for Jesus had brought them there, and that is why they came to the grave. I know that ye seek Jesus. Or if you have experienced an earthquake within my hearers, then you likewise have experienced that you have come to the end of everything in yourself. Oh, when God convinces of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, my hearers, why then we begin to flee from sin. We cannot live in sin any longer. There is such a mighty change in our life, and we begin to pray and to ask God to keep us from sin. Oh, we make so many resolutions and so many vows that if God will help us, we'll never sin against him anymore. And all we mean this, oh yes, but we find that sin is too strong, is too powerful for us. Oh, my hearers, we find that we are fighting a losing fight. And all when we are brought to the end, when we give up, when it becomes hopeless on our side, when we say, what's the use anymore? Sin is so strong and so powerful, I can't overcome it. It's a lost matter with me. All my hearers, then, that we may likewise be given to hear the voice of this great shepherd. He spake by the mouth of these angels to the women, fear not. Have you ever heard his voice speaking to you, saying unto you, fear not, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Oh, what a wonderful blessing if you have heard his voice in this life, my hearers. Then I am sure that your eyes of faith have been directed to Jesus. And then I would think that the words that these angels spake unto the women, I know that ye seek Jesus, is applicable to you. Is it? Are there some here? Are there some that need Jesus, that are longing after him? Oh, my hearers, is it known in heaven that this is going on in your hearts? Can you lay your heart bare before that Holy One and say, Lord, you know what's going on in me. You know I'm seeking you. You know I can't live or die without you. Oh, my hearers, these angels knew that these women loved Jesus, and therefore they spake such words of comfort to them. These women then were told that he had been crucified. But they spake further and said, he is not here. He is risen. Come, see the place where he has lain. And just as he has said, he is risen. They were then invited by the angels to come and look, to have an ocular proof that he really was risen from the dead. And we are sure that they came and looked in the grave. This message that these angels brought was a glorious message. Angels, as I said, are called messengers. And these angels, they have been used by God many times in this way. Angels, they published unto the shepherds that he was born in Bethlehem. Right after Jesus had been 40 days in the wilderness tempted by Satan, we find that angels came and ministered unto him. We find likewise when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he was bearing the wrath and the indignation of God against our sins, when he sweat great drops of blood, Then an angel came and strengthened him. Here, angels are the proclaimers of this glorious message to the women. He is not here, he is risen. As he has said, come see the place where he hath lain. And they were told to go forth to the disciples and tell them that Jesus was risen, and that as they were going, they would sure meet Jesus. He would appear unto them on their way to Galilee. My hearers, in reading the Gospels, in trying to bring what has taken place upon this notable day in just order is almost impossible. For only these evangelists give us but a short account of the happenings of that day. It is very confusing, and many commentators have tried to bring this in an order, but it's impossible. The best order that we could bring it into is that these women all were near the grave, and as they came near to the grave, then they seen that the stone was rolled from the sepulcher. And when Mary seen this, she ran back, and she went into the city, and she told John and Peter what had taken place at the sepulcher. And we find that John and Peter, they both ran as fast as they could to the sepulcher. See in this, dear love, all see these two disciples running. John outrun Peter, and they came to the sepulcher. John, he looked in, and he seen the linen clothes lying, but he did not enter. Peter came afterwards and went into the sepulcher, and he seen the linen clothes lying, but also the napkin that had been round his head lying in a different place. They had then likewise ocular proof that he was not in this grave, that he must have been somewhere else. Whether he had been risen from the dead or not, they knew not. They went home again from the sepulcher, wondering at what they had seen. But Mary, she remained outside of the sepulcher. She was alone. The evangelist all recorded that he appeared first unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And in this order, my hearers, I bring before you Mary. She has went, and she likewise has come to the sepulcher with Peter and John, and they have departed, and she is standing outside of the sepulcher, weeping. This woman who loved much, and I would say who had been loved much, for anyone that has seven devils in them and had these seven devils cast out by Jesus must in return love him. She loved him very greatly. And she had come with these women to perform this act of love too. But now she's standing there all alone, weeping. And she looks down into the grave, and she sees two angels in the grave. And these angels, they speak unto her, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? My hearers, she could do nothing else but weep, as she had come to find him, and he was not there. She couldn't understand what they had done with him. She thought that somebody had opened the grave and had stolen his body away and had laid him somewhere else. These were her thoughts. And these angels spake unto her and said, Woman, why weepest thou? Oh, could I question any of my hearers in this way? All time was when your heart was filled with love, filled with affection to Jesus. Oh, you loved him sincerely. And you wished that you could love him more. But there God began his discovering act in your heart. And you began to know yourself as one of the chiefest, the greatest of sinners. And you found nothing else in your heart but evil, and that continually. For your heart was a sink of sin. Your heart was like this grave. Jesus had been in this grave, but now he was not there. Same way with your heart. He had been there, but now you find that he is not there. All the feelings, all the affections, all the love that you have experienced, it seems to be gone. Your heart is like the grave. And when you begin to think of how it was at one time and how it is now, then you would want to go somewhere and weep. For how are you? What are you? Oh, my hearers, this woman came to the grave and she found not Jesus. And we look into the grave of our heart and we don't find Jesus there anymore. We sometimes think that the devil dwells in our hearts. That's what we find there. And actually it seems as if he has taken the throne of our heart again. All my hearers, this woman stood weeping. Why was she weeping? Because Jesus was not in the grave, because she had not found him. Is that the reason you weep, my hearers? Are you looking for him and you can't find him? Are you looking into your heart and there is nothing else but reasons why that Jesus should never come there again? This woman, weeping, crying in this way, is a type of many a soul. I wish there were more Marys here like this that were weeping. And now as she stood weeping and these angels questioned her, she said unto them, they have taken my Lord away, and I know not where they have laid him. Oh, she loved him so. Oh, she wanted to know where they had taken him and where they had laid him. And now as she stood there weeping, then she turned herself and she looked to the back of her, and there stood a man. And she thought it was the gardener, the caretaker of that place. And he spake unto her and said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? He goes one step further than the angels. Whom seekest thou? Oh, she recognized not her beloved Lord and Savior. Now, there's a mystery here, my hearers, that Jesus can speak to a soul, can inquire even to the soul, and the soul still not know it. Oh, this is an experience that many of God's dear children go through. All they hear his voice, but they cannot say that it's Jesus. Or they would give everything they had if they could believe that it's Jesus. He conceals himself. He holds himself back in this respect. He spake unto her and said, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Or could I apply that to any of you that are listening to me? Are there any here that are weeping? I'm afraid there aren't too many that shed tears because they miss Jesus. I'm afraid there aren't many that are seeking Jesus. It's a lamentable fact, but it's true. Search your hearts, my hearers, whether you have any love, any affection, any need for Jesus therein. Oh, how few, my hearers. But if there may be even one Mary, who is weeping and who is longing to find Jesus, the words are very applicable. O woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Did he not know that she was seeking him? Did he not know what had brought her there? I'm sure he did. Does he not know you, soul? Does he not know what's going on within you? Is it unknown to him? Do you not make it known to him? Can you not say sometimes in childlike simplicity, Lord, you know I'm seeking you. You know I need you. You know I need your saving blood, your saving righteousness. Lord, do appear unto me. Are there some souls here like that? Who put it there? You never had that before, did you? I'm sure you never had that in your natural state. No natural person has anything like this. If it's there, it's the Holy Spirit that has put it there. And that Spirit will never leave that soul until it brings it to Jesus. Now this woman, as she was being spoken to, and Jesus also spoke wonderful words to her, and still she knew him not. Isn't this the case with us? I could even take myself as an example. All that he would appear, make himself known unto our souls. Seeking him, I would say 30 years, and not be able to say you found him. You would think you would give it up, wouldn't you? If you seek something and you can't find it, you sure give it up quick. But to seek for 30 years and not to be able to say that you found him to the joy and to the happiness of your soul. But what makes it that you continue to seek? Why don't you do like you do in a natural state, give it up and leave it and forsake it? Because someone has you by the heart and someone is drawing you, irrespective of all your sins and all what you find in yourself, you cannot give it up. Now this woman then, Mary, as she was spoken to in this way, and she speaks back to Jesus, thinking him to be the gardener, she said unto him, as thou hast carried him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Imagine the love, the affection of this weak woman, that she had it in her mind that if this gardener would only tell her where he was, she would pick him up and she would carry him away. Such was the love that she had to Jesus. Oh, my hearers, have you such love for Jesus? I'm afraid we have so little love for Jesus. And now the Lord Jesus, he spake unto her again. And he said, Mary. What was the difference this time? Why didn't she recognize his voice before? He had spoken to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? The same voice. I am sure, my hearers, that when he says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and they know me, that he means what he says. But now there is here a mystery that was withheld from her at this time. And that is that the Spirit of God did not give unto her that faith, that she could believe that it was the voice of her beloved. But now when he said Mary, oh, that word Mary was accompanied with power, was accompanied with the Spirit of God into her heart. And that word was her word of salvation, Mary. Oh, that thrilled through her soul. Oh, that voice that she heard this time was the voice of her Savior, the voice of her Mediator, the voice of her Lord and Master. Oh, he knew her by name, and he called her by name. And she, when she received this word, responded also. And then she spake and said, Rabboni, meaning Master. Then there was a love, there was a knowledge, there was faith, there was hope brought into exercise. And there was such a wonder in her soul, he who she thought had been dead was standing before her alive. Oh, this was such a wonder to her. Who can explain display the exercises of her soul and what went on, the feelings, the affections that she had towards that person that spake, Mary. Oh, has he ever spoken to you? Has he ever called you by name? Has he ever met you under the means of grace? Has he ever comforted your soul in your distress? Oh, then sure, you long to hear his voice again. This Mary was privileged then to have the first revelation of Jesus after he had been crucified and risen from the dead to her immortal soul. Oh, this woman in all her affection and all her love, I believe she fell down at his feet and she longed to embrace him. But he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father. Go unto my disciples and tell them that I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father. Oh, what wonderful words these were. Here Jesus makes known that she was one of his sheep. For her he had died, and likewise that he had paid a ransom price for her soul, and that she had a Father in heaven, your Father. Oh, blessed words they were for Mary. She was given then the assurance of her salvation. She was given to believe that Jesus was her Savior and God was her Father. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have a meeting with Jesus. Many things happen in such a short space of time when Jesus meets with us. Has he ever met with you? Or if he has not, may you yet seek him while he is yet to be found. Oh, cry after him, even if it be but a natural cry, a mental cry, an understanding cry. He may put his spirit within it, and he may answer it. Seek ye him while he is to be found. And may you be given to persevere in it and find him as Mary found him. That's all for today.